On the front of your bulletin, you may have noticed that there are two graphics. One is the Ten Commandments, the other a little flag inside the words Labor Day. Obviously, you see that. The reason why the Ten Commandments look backwards to you, the hieroglyphics, that's Hebrew. And Hebrew does not read from left to right. It reads from right to left. And in the book, it does not go from front to back. It goes from back to front. And so it's the one thing that Cecil B. DeMille got wrong. It's one of the things that he got wrong in the Ten Commandments. They don't write in English. But in any case, it is Labor Day weekend, which means a lot of different things to a great many different people. Back in the late 80s, being involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, I had the privilege of leading a small group Bible study of college freshmen and sophomores, people that were generally either new Christians or coming to college out of a church background where they wanted to maintain that kind of fellowship. And over the years, had interaction with quite a few individuals. And there was one gentleman in particular. His name was Matt. Matt was a really cool guy. I enjoyed Matt a lot. He had a lot of energy, kind of a type A personality, go get him, get it done kind of thing. He had many brothers and sisters. I forget how many were in the family, but there were quite a few. And as a freshman, Matt had a lot of time on his hands. And he loved the Lord Jesus. He was glad to be able to, come to Campus Crusade on its weekly meetings and be involved in Bible study. And then in his sophomore year, things got a little busier for Matt. Took on a lot of responsibilities and things that needed to happen. Got a job, started working in his program, signed up for different things at school, different things at home. And he just kind of didn't have the ability to say no or to stop. He was just on full throttle all the time. Matt was very much a great guy. Struggled with a few things, but he was incredibly busy with all sorts of good things. There is this. There was, at least at that time, a retreat that we would go on in the fall with Crusade out to this place in the middle of nowhere, New York. It's called Watson's Homestead. It's a beautiful place. I mean, they have like 80 acres of rolling hills and meadows and incredible capture the flag games. And, we'd all go out there pretty cheaply for a weekend with all. We'd have a speaker, and it was more a planning weekend for the year than anything else. And it wasn't a conference that was in the brochure as extraordinary. Come to this magnificent time at this retreat. You can't miss this one. Have you ever noticed that Christians always, lately we do that? I mean, if you miss this woman of faith, you're just not a woman of faith. This is going to be an extraordinary conference. This is the last, and you know what I'm talking about. Watch the brochures. Everything is super critical and the best. Well, we never build fall retreat that way. And Matt consistently said, no, I don't want to go. So it came around a fall retreat, and Matt was busy again, just even more so. And I sat down with him one-on-one in our discipleship time, and I took him through a Bible study talking about rest, being at rest, that God wants us to slow down and not be so busy and burdened, that he's there for us to unload our burdens on. And at the end of the conversation, Matt, a light bulb went off in Matt's head, and he said, "You mean to tell me it's my given right to sit on my butt and do nothing?" And I said, "Why, yes, it is, Matt. That's why I think you should go to fall retreat." And his eyes got big, and he said, "You did that on purpose." I said, "Yes, I did." Matt went to fall retreat and had a wonderful time. He had a zinger. He had an aha moment where the Lord grabbed him because of what it says in the Word of God. And then I gave him a zinger by helping him understand where God's truth meets his need. rest. God is pleased when his children enter his rest. God is pleased when his children enter his rest. First of all, we're talking about this because it's Labor Day. We all get off tomorrow. Well, almost all of us, but not everybody. But we take a holiday. We stop. We cease from work. God has designed it in a particular way that he has given rest, and he is pleased when we are able to rest in his rest. First of all, rest is a gift from God. As a gift, you and I do not need to wait for Christmas. Do not open before Christmas. It's a gift that we need desperately to open immediately. Rest is a gift from God. We're going to be jumping around Scripture today, settling eventually in Psalm 46 in a couple of minutes here. If you are using your Pew Bible, I will give you the page numbers in the Black Bible. If you like to thumb through yours, that's personally fine. If you have a difficulty doing that, you know, to jump as fast as I do, because I know I move pretty quickly, use the Pew Bible and turn to the pages. First of all, rest is a gift from God. Some of the pertinent passages, but not all of them, right in the very beginning, on page 2 in the Pew Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Speaking about God himself, the first 3 verses say this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the 7th day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Much has been made about these verses and ought to be made about these verses, but the simple fact of the matter is, he who created us rested. He ceased working on that part of creation in the 7th day. God rests. Exodus chapter 16, page 74. This is not the first passage, but it's one of the passages where we begin to see that God gives rest as a gift to his people. His people were in the wilderness. They had escaped. The Exodus had occurred. They were out in the wilderness. They didn't have any food. They complained. God sent manna. And then the people took too much manna. They didn't listen to the instructions, the commands of God about how to collect the manna and eat it and those kinds of things. So Moses had to go to God again, and God instructed them. And in chapter 16, verse 29, on page 74 in the Pew Bible, we read, start at verse 28. "Then the Lord said to Moses," start at verse 27. Read the whole Bible. "It came about on the 7th day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none." God said there wasn't going to be manna on the 7th day. They didn't listen. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath.'" Sabbath means rest. It's a word for rest. "Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days on the 6th day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the 7th day." We are not at the part of the Exodus yet where God gives the 10 commandments to honor the Sabbath, and yet we are already seeing a pattern for God's people on the 7th day that God was doing something with that day based on creation and his rest in giving them a day of rest. It's a gift given by God when they were in the wilderness. One more page, Exodus chapter 20, page 78, excuse me, a couple pages back. Having trouble reading my own handwriting. Exodus 20, this is the first recording of the Ten Commandments, verses 8 through 11. And we're going to start at verse 8. It's the fourth commandment. Let me look on my thing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that's right. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath was to be kept. The seventh day was a day of rest. No work, no sojourner, no cattle, no nothing. Because God rested. That was page 78. Page 190 in your pew Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 5. At the beginning of the Exodus, Exodus 20, halfway through the book, we get the Ten Commandments when God wrote them. When they were getting ready to leave the wilderness and go into the land of promise in Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments come up again. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your maid servant, male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Once again, reiterating in the Ten Commandments that they are to honor the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. The idea of rest is not foreign to the people, to the children of God. It is a gift given by God. You can write some of these down. We're not going to turn to all of these, but we will turn to a couple of them. We already looked at Exodus 16. No, we didn't look at Exodus 16. Yes, we did. In the wilderness, God gave them rest. Exodus 20. Exodus 33:14. At Sinai, when the Ten Commandments were happening, just before they were getting ready to go, God gave them rest. When in the kingdom, many, many years later, Solomon rediscovers, they're getting ready to dedicate the temple. Solomon is getting ready they read the whole law to all of the people, and then Solomon worships God. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, which is on page 360 in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 8, this is when the ark returned to Jerusalem after it had been gone. And so they read the law again. In his blessing, Solomon says this, chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel. They're in the promised land. They're in the kingdom. God gives rest. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 30. Jehoshaphat, another king of God, went to war. And it says that God gave him peace on every side. They rested from war. Psalm 127, verse 2. In Psalm 127, we know the second half. That's where it says that children are a gift from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. But it begins with, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to go to bed late, eating from the hands of your labor, because God gives to his beloved sleep, rest. My and your translation kind of clean that up a little bit. And it says he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. That's a reasonable translation. But God gives sleep. It's vain to work hard. Early to rise, late to bed. Without realizing that God gives rest. You think I'm crazy, don't you? Isaiah chapter 63, page 746. Please turn there. Prophet Isaiah saw a lot, prophesied many, many different things. Incredible. Isaiah 63, very near the end, in verse 14. Talks about at length here when recalling God's activity, especially the Exodus. Talks about them going through the sea in very poetic terms and God taking care of them. As the cattle which go down to the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you, Almighty God, led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. God gives rest for His glory, the glory of His name. The reason why we're to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy is because He gives us rest for His namesake. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 tell us that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is a gift from God. God is a giving God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." God is a giving God. One of the gifts that He gives is rest. Now there's three things about this gift where we might be at least three. First of all, people are deeply burdened. You and I meet them. You and I are them. Our schedules are full with lots of good things. And like Matt, we just go on full throttle most of the time. We got laundry to do. We got kids to pick up. We got doctor's appointments, glass appointments, shopping to do, meals to cook, people to visit, go to church, have the roaster in because the family's coming over, all kinds of things, burdened. And then there are those who are burdened with disease and loss and illness and grief and heartache. Burdens. And burdened people need to take the smallest step this morning. Acknowledge the gift. Realize that God gives rest as a gift. Don't do anything with it, just acknowledge it. You see it, you run by it. Oh, there's a gift. I see it. I got to go. I got to get the cake out. Don't have time to stop and, you know, admire this gift and the wrapping yet. Just it's there on the table. It's out there. God gives rest as a gift, and He is pleased when His children use it. Second, maybe you've acknowledged the gift and you see it's there and you believe what the Scripture says. You get a chance to open it and admire it. Boy, that's really true. Look at this. This is a wonderful thing to bring God glory. And, you know, just like kids at a birthday party celebration, you know, open the gifts and nobody gets to play with anything. They all put them to the side. Ladies at your shower, bridal gifts and whatever. You put it to the side because you got to go have cake. You got something else that's more important to do, but at least you've opened it. At least you've seen it. Not only do you acknowledge that it's there, but, oh, I get this. I get this a little bit, but I'm too busy. I can't work with it right now. I'll play with my Nerf gun later. I'll play with my iPod later. I got to do something else. It's more important. So there's burdened people. Take the smallest step and acknowledge the gift. Open it, admire it. And then finally, enjoy the gift. Rest. Not only do you acknowledge that it's there, and you've opened it and admired it, but you actually do it. So what does that mean? What is rest? Remember the purpose of rest. God is pleased with His children when they enter into His rest. We need to realize that rest is a gift, and we need to remember the purpose. The purpose is not so you can get a nap. That might be part of it. The purpose of rest isn't really for you. The purpose of rest is for God. What do you mean? Well, let's recall for a moment the two commandments, the fourth commandment in both Exodus and in Genesis. In Exodus, you may have noticed when I read that it said that the reason God gave the Sabbath was because he created and rested from it. In Deuteronomy, it says that God gave the Sabbath, and the thing you're supposed to remember is that God brought you out of Egypt by his mighty right hand. He got you out of slavery. Exodus and Deuteronomy give us a fuller picture of what God is doing. Why? Do you remember why God brought them out of Egypt? They were enslaved for 400 years. He rose a deliverer named Moses up to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Why? Because they worked too hard. No, because I love them. Well, that's true, but no. Why did God bring them out of Egypt? Do you remember what Moses said to Pharaoh? "Let us go so we may worship God." That's why God has given us rest. God gives his children rest as a gift so that we would worship and adore him. That we would be with him. We talked last week about his presence from Romans. The blessing of his presence. What a gift that is. The purpose of worship or of rest is worship. It wasn't to get them out of slavery, out of a bad situation. He did that so that they would worship him. Does that mean that they couldn't worship him while they were slaves? No, that's not true. You can worship God anywhere. Whatever your burden is, you got to open the gift immediately, understand its purpose. Rest isn't for you to improve your golf game or to finish that quilt or to take that class. That's not what rest is for, beloved. Rest is for you and I to be with God in a way that is different from the other 6 days a week, where we work and labor and are with him. We are to enjoy his presence. And so turn with me to page 578, Psalm 46. We will read the whole thing. I had Dinah read. I had the scripture reading for just the last section of it. And Dinah, bless your heart for actually reading Selah. Selah. Most people just blow it right off. But that's the heart and soul of this passage. Not only who God is, but our response. Psalm 46. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth a song. Did you know that the psalms were songs that the ancient Israelites sang? And when they went to church and temple and worshiped and were singing, whether they had instruments or not, big debate, but it's okay. They would sing the psalms. And whenever they saw Selah, they were to stop the music in the middle of the song and think about what they just sang. Do you ever do that? Do you ever see something up there, you do verse 1 or verse 2, and then all of a sudden something strikes you, and it's like, wait a minute, I wonder what that means, and you stop singing? I mean, your mouth is going, but your brain's not engaged anymore. Charms? What charms me most? I don't know what charms are. Charms? Lucky charms? Which charms? Anyways, it happened to me this morning. Selah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake and its swelling pride. Stop the music. contemplate. Look at what you've just read. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Stop the music. Think about what you've just read. Be with him in his presence and worship and adore him. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to Sabbath, to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Relax. This isn't exactly the same word as Sabbath. This is cease and desist. Striving and know that I am God. Relax and know that I am God. Relax and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Stop the music. When you rest, you open and you enjoy the gift. When you're doing that correctly, you're worshiping God. Whether that's on the golf course or something other than you do for a living. I work on Sundays. This is what I do. This is not my day of rest. It cannot be. You are to be with God and enjoy him, not the alternate activity, whatever it is that you're doing that's not normal. People have taken this to the extreme and, you know, sit on their couch all day. I know people that, you know, grew up that way. Mom and dad were Sabbath keepers and you sat on your couch all day. It's not what this means. As you do it, there is effort and a commitment that you need. As you rest, it will take effort and commitment to it. I'm going to let you think about that. It's an oxymoron. We are told to work hard to enter into the rest of our salvation. It takes work to rest. It's going to take work just to get to the birthday gift table and open the gift for most of us in the room. But it's a gift from God, and its purpose is to worship. One author concerning this wrote about the Copernicus Revolution. Do you remember Copernicus? Some of you probably don't have any idea who I'm talking about. Copernicus was a very smart man long ago. And Copernicus had trouble with the universe and the stars revolving around the earth. And so he posited the idea that the earth revolved around the sun. And mathematically, the stars made sense. So the earth is the center of the universe, right? No. God is the center of the universe. We now know that the earth is just, or the sun is one star in a galaxy, you know, billions and millions. It's very small. God is the center of the universe. Rest was given not for you, but for him, because he is the center of the universe. And when we rest, and we rest his rest in worshiping and adoring and being with him, he is well pleased. I go back to Matt as we conclude this morning. Matt was right, but he needed a little tweaking. I saw some of you kind of bristle when I told you what Matt had to say. You mean to tell me that it's God's? It's my God-given right to do nothing? No. It's your God-given right to rest. His rest. It is God's given gift, and he is pleased when his people, his children, enter into his rest. Something to think about. as you're grilling hot dogs, as you're having the last potato salad and the final hurrah, and as we prepare for communion, Troy, Nathan, Marlon, and Jason, would you come forward? As we celebrate communion, as we consider the Lord's death and resurrection, remember his words. It is finished. Yes, doctrinally, theologically, they are for the fact that he paid for our sins. But when he had ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. We await heaven. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Rest in the Lord.